Welcome to Bon Ton Hookers. It is Sci-Fi Party Line, and this is your hostess, Kat. Today, I have with me Hanako.
Hey.
And Daryl.
Hello.
Welcome back, Anthony.
Hello.
And Lori. I think she's a newbie for the show.
Hey.
And today, we are going to discuss True Blood. Now, True Blood, wow. I think this show has gone way over the top, but I like it. Every episode is good. I have to watch it 2-3 times just to, you know, get the effect. But it's a good show.
Yeah.
Then, what are you doing,
Hanako? I think I have to take back what I said last week about not being sure about where this, you know, about where the show is going. Yeah, last night just kind of cemented it for me.
Because last time we talked on the Comic Book Roadshow, Daryl's podcast, you weren't that happy about the show deviating from the books that much.
It wasn't that I wasn't happy. It was just there were some things I felt like they were deviating a little bit too much. But I think the last two episodes, because I think that when we did the Comic Book Roadshow, this was before last Sunday's episode. So I've had two more episodes since then, and I can say I'm getting hooked back in. So,
okay. What did it for you? The butt naked romp or the Russell rant on TV or?
Well, you know, the eye candy is never, you know, that's never a bad thing. And, you know, Eric and Talbot and that was nice. But I will say before last night, I was not a big Russell Edgington fan. And the last 5 minutes of the show, he just killed it. I love him now.
Who was laughing out loud when Russell did his little speech? Yeah.
That's a sick man.
I think I probably laughed more at the Talbot Jello than I did the speech.
Oh, yeah. He finally took him out, not as he's dead. Lori, you are newbie to the show. I've been trying to get, you know, talk to you about True Blood for a while. What do you think of the whole thing so far? Let's get an overview of what you think and, you know, this season and last night's ep.
Well, I'm new to True Blood. I watched the first two seasons as recently as last week, and I'd watched it earlier in June. And I don't have HBO, so I'm finding it through different means. So I'm up to date. And all I have to say is that they have completely jumped the shark. They've skipped ahead to book 7 and 8 in certain parts.
Yeah.
And I like what they're doing, but last night's episode, Talbot, Candy Dish, oh my God.
I miss him. You know, RIP for him. Moment of silence. That's enough. Yeah. what is your favorite part of True Blood so far? I mean, you say they jumped a shark?
I think it did because this season is book 3. Next season should technically be book 4. They're bringing in the witches early. They're bringing in a lot of things. Now, the biggest problem that I have with it, and when I say jumping a shark, is that obviously with Sophie Ann, we don't have Andre. We also are seeing more of characters that they're making up for the series. We don't have Quinn. I think that Jesus might turn out to be the Quinn character.
Here's the thing, Lori, let me stop you because I think you and I are probably the only two book fans here.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So
what happened to Andre?
So all those names that you're saying is kind of going over their heads right now. They're like,
very
okay.
Crickets.
All right. Okay.
Jumping the that performance last night and just pretty much this whole season, aside from the books, I can't say there's any shark jumping. Maybe if over the top shark jumping, if people want to say it's too hammy, too.
I was right, though.
You was right about what?
We were talking about, well, I figured it all out. I was right about the part where I said he would do something to jeopardize the legislation.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. You did.
I cannot see this getting passed now after that little speech.
And I guess that's part of what Lori's talking about, because in the books, the legislation actually moves along a little bit further to the point where I don't know. Are we doing spoilers?
Spoilers. No, no.
Okay. Okay. So, but I will say that they don't have as difficult a time in the books as they are having in the show as far as getting the legislation passed. Also, one of the things Lori mentioned, the character of Hunter in the books, we don't even find out about him until the very like last chapter of book 8. And the series is up to book 10 right now.
Who's Hunter?
The Hunter boy. Is, yeah. He's Hatley's son.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's the little boy that also is a telepath. Okay. Or at least that was that's what they are trying to infer with the little visit at the aquarium. But like that whole storyline there has completely changed because Sookie and Hatley never actually interact in the books because by the time we find out who Hatley is, her character is already gone. She was actually, you know, she's I doubt if they're going to I don't know if they're going to still, you know, stick with that with the
Red alert,
the
red
show
alert.
And of course I didn't say going how, so I'm not really spoiling.
Okay.
But basically her and Sookie did not have a relationship in the book, so the fact that they're kind of bringing that in, I like that a little bit, but it kind of makes me wonder where they're going to go with the show after this if they're already jumping.
They're just going to make up a whole bunch of stuff.
Ahead. Yeah. Well,
but don't you think, but does everybody think that what they're doing and the performance that they have, that even if they just lightly touch on the books, that they're doing a good job? It's very entertaining.
They are.
Yeah.
They're doing an excellent job. They've got me on the edge of my seat, especially if you are a reader of the books and you know what's going to happen and you're watching it and you're going, oh my goodness. I mean, the biggest thing this season for me is how much they're bringing us King Russell. I mean, he is a medium part of the books and they've just brought him out and I'm enjoying him and Franklin. Well, Franklin. Uh-huh. So much that I just love it.
Well, I enjoyed Hatley's outfit. And
you know
and,
what?
And where y'all do all that Jason Nathan stuff?
Okay, but you know, I have to agree with you. She, you know, she wasn't like the other little weird skinny chicks. Right. She wasn't a ginger. You know, she was looking pretty nice. I will give you that. So it wasn't cream corn, but it was, you know.
They rewind it back. Okay.
Are you talking about the black lace outfit?
Yes.
Hallway. Okay.
Bullseye.
Okay. Anthony, you keep quiet. Yeah.
To bring the discussion back.
To what? We still talking True Blood.
That's part of the show.
It is.
Really, I think they're really, since it's a series and not necessarily a movie, I think they're using the books or, you know, as more of a guide as opposed to, you know, let's try to stick to the story in the book. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think they're using it more like a guide and not necessarily, well, this has to happen because it was in the book or, you know, this person has to have this kind of role because that's how it was in the book. I think they're really just using it as a guide more so than anything.
Hanako, Laura, does that make it fresh for you?
It does because I honestly don't know what to expect. Like, I will say this, seeing Renee just out of the blue when Arlene... That freaked me out. But at the same time, I was sitting here like, yes, you Cajun murderer. I'm so glad to see you back. Because up until he was revealed as the, you know, as the murderer of season one, he was one of, you know, even though at this point I already knew what he was going to, you know, going to be in the show, but I still, the actor they have portraying that character, I just loved him. He was so good. And I was like, oh, did they really have to kill him? Like, did he really have to go? But that was such an unexpected bonus for me, you know, yesterday or when was it, last week's episode? So that was fun.
Okay. Lorena is dead. I don't think she died the last time we talked. She's dead. She's gone. Did she live longer in the books or is she just gone early or what?
No, she actually, she's right on time. I think she was killed. I think that was book 3 as well. So that pretty much is, you know, consistent as far as how she died and, you know, the circumstances leading up to her death is a little bit different. But yeah, I think it falls in consistency with the books.
Wait, which one's Lorena?
Lorena was, she got her head turned backwards and was pounded.
Yeah, that was
good. Oh, okay. Yeah. I love Bill's you, Bill.
I
love yeah, Bill's maker.
Okay. What is the crazy wolf lady who broke down Sookie's door?
Debbie Belt.
Debbie Belt.
Okay, I know Hanako. You said she was a lot more evil in the book. Is she reaching the level of evilness with the door kick thing and the attack and Sookie and the fight?
Yes, that is more the Debbie Belt that I was expecting to see. Not the you know, the drug addicted whiny mess that she was in the book. She was a little more badass, and she really is psycho. So yeah, she's getting there. I'd like to see what they're going to do with her in three episodes, because I'm expecting a little bit more. But yeah, she's steadily approaching, you know, psycho
space. Because I think she needed a catalyst, and then they killed Cooter. So I was like, oh, okay, so this is how we're going to get to her being.
They killed Cooter.
She whined to Russell that they shot him in the heart, but they actually shot him in the head, and I thought that was a weird thing that they said. But let's go to Russell. You know, he always talks stuff to what is the husband's name?
Talbot.
Yes, thank you, Talbot. I really enjoyed Talbot. He was always great comic relief. I really hated to see him go. I understood why. I know, Daryl, that you love man on man love. So, did you hate to see him?
Yeah, go I cried. Like yeah, I cried when that happened. I said, Eric, how could you?
Do you think he was justified? It was a fair thing, or
yeah, he took out his family. Family for family. You took out my family, I take out yours.
Eric said that was the closest thing to Russell's heart.
He didn't treat him like that, but okay.
He didn't. I was kind of shocked at his anguish, I guess you could say, just the way he came in, and you know, he's like talking to the goo on the floor. It was weird, but
I thought it was genuine, because I have family that they've been married for years, and they talk to each other like they can't stand each other, but they love each other. That's natural.
Why? Especially, it just seemed like you could tell that he wouldn't take that from just anybody. How they went back and forth.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, at that point, as long as they've been together, you just wouldn't take that from just anybody.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that what we saw with Russell and his reaction to Talbot is that even though we're just seeing what's current, they had 700 years together. So finding that the love of his life is gone. I mean, you're going to have that visceral reaction. I think the candy dish was a little too far.
But it was funny, though. It was funny.
That was a fun touch.
That's a typical reaction to losing a loved one. I mean, when you love someone that deeply, it doesn't matter if something's going on in your lives in the current month or the last couple of months or in the last year, they've got all this history. So I can understand that being his breaking point and pushing him over the edge to what he did later on in the episode. But to me, it was very, very touching. And I can't say that if it would have been me, if I wouldn't have done the same thing. Well, maybe not the candy dish, but you know.
I'd have walked around with her in the candy dish and I'd have chanted crazy stuff like he did. Mm. Yeah, that's love.
So anybody had the feeling that, you know, because Eric did what he did, that Pam is going to get it?
Yeah.
Or book people, Hanako and Laura, you hush it.
Yeah,
I haven't said a word. I'm looking at this tweet that says that Charlene Harris may be writing an Alcide spinoff.
Ooh.
I have nothing to say about Pam
other than she shouldn't wear that shade of pink. That's all I'm saying.
I kind of like that little outfit she had on. I like the way it was made, the shade of pink.
The one that she had on yesterday, yes. Yeah. But the last couple of episodes, she's been looking a little bit more washed out, I guess. But
she was tortured. I mean,
I didn't like her earrings at all.
Yeah.
Really, really did.
Yeah, they didn't match with the
ensemble. She'd been silvered, so, you know, she was going to look kind of pale. But I think
that's true.
It could have been something with the eyes or the blood.
Pam, if you look at Baby Jessica's blog, and Pam does a guest appearance on it, and they're asking her basically fashion tips. I mean, that is some of the funniest stuff you'll ever see Christian Bauer do on the series.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Eric and Pam. I don't know what this means for Eric, but what was the lady? The Vampire League lady? She came
Nan
in.
Nan Flanagan.
Yeah, I loved her. I loved the way she came in all dominatrix styled and was talking crap. And she really kind of wanted to wash her hands of it and sweep it under the rug. But what Russell did when he, you know, snatched the spine out of the guy, he made it to where they can't ignore it and they had to address it.
Well, she was a council member, right?
I don't really know what she
is. I don't think she's a council member. I think she's in American Vampire League. She's like the head of that. So I think she's not necessarily in the, what do they call it, the authority or whatever. She's kind of like the minion for them, I think. She's the one who kind of makes sure that things are, you know, going kind of smoothly. And when it doesn't, she's there to kind of pass on what their judgment is, especially since now they have no magister, so...
Well, they should have gave Eric, like Eric warned them what was up, and they should have listened to what Eric said and pretty much helped him take that guy out, take Talbot out.
But that would be too easy, and that would wrap things up too nicely.
Yeah, I know.
I think what they were thinking is that Eric killed Talbot, and so Russell is just going to go after Eric, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is when Russell went there, he was going to kill Eric, and then he saw the Vampire League.
Right.
And so now he thinks that they put Eric up to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they know that. I don't think they know that Talbot is dead yet. The authority and, you know, the...
Why would they care, though? I mean, why would that be their problem? You see they're kind of hands-off. Do you think they care?
I think they would care just in the fact that it's against their rules and their laws for one vampire to kill another.
Right, so, you're right.
You know, if you think back to season one, mm-hmm. when Bill killed Long Shadow, he had to pay penance by making Jessica. So I think they would care on that scale, maybe before Russell did what he did.
But I don't think they want anything to mess up their trying to get this stuff passed. That they would
Like I was saying, I think to them it's something that's between Eric and Talbot. I mean, Eric and
Russell.
And that's why they're like, well, you brought this to us. You have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But see, from Russell's perspective, they're all in league together against him.
Right.
So that's why he did what he did. Because otherwise, he would have just went there, killed Eric, and been done with it.
I'm glad he didn't, because, woo, that would have been...
But that's what I think.
Yeah, I don't think there'd be much of a show without Eric.
Yeah, no. Well, I'm kind of glad to see him get some revenge, his family.
I'm kind of glad to see him actually become a bad guy, because we always have these...
Well, how is he a bad guy now? He was getting revenge.
He's more of an
anti. But you see a little bit more of that brutality with Eric, and his character is supposed to be a little more harsh than the other characters, and it's like, up until now, I've always felt like his character wasn't what he's supposed to be. He doesn't, you know, he's supposed to be the sheriff and he's supposed to be so old and he's supposed to be kind of threatening. I think in season one, he had that mm-hmm. kind of presence.
Yeah.
And I think just with season two and a little bit of season three, they've kind of mellowed him out a little bit. So to see him go back into that, you know, into that killing mode is great, because I think that's what his character is supposed to be, especially if they end up doing what I think they're going to do next season. It's going to be a completely different Eric. So
I hope he grows his hair back.
That would be nice. I completely forgot about the hair until I was looking at pictures from season one, and I was like, God, his hair really was.
That was a lot weave, girl.
But you know, it was just a different look, and it was, I don't know, it's almost like they cut his hair and he got a little more more mellow, and I don't like mellow Eric.
It's Sookie's fault.
Sookie.
It's Sookie's fault.
Sookie. Yeah.
One of the things that I think we all found interesting, or I found interesting about the show, was that most of the people on the show, they aren't really good. Everyone is sort of gray.
Yeah.
And every character starts to be very similar. And, you know, some things needed to be done to make them sort of be antagonistic towards each other to a larger degree than just, well, everyone is sort of bad and everyone is sort of interested in Sookie. Mm-hmm. Well, now we have, you know, Russell, who wants to take over everything and, you know, be like this all-powerful vampire.
Right. He wants to eat our children.
Yeah, he wants to eat our children. I think that makes it even more interesting because now you have people who are going to have to form alliances to take Russell down because it's not just going to be Eric by himself because Eric can't.
That's true. That's true.
Mm-hmm. I also find it...
Basically, we have to have a common enemy, you know, to move the story along because otherwise they'd all be walking around trying to figure out why is Sookie important and that's kind of boring.
Yes.
I wish they'd tell her already because I'm getting tired of them.
Stop it. No, I like the tease. I like the tease. I think I already know, but I came up with two additional. What is Sookie? I thought maybe she was a siren because last time it was a fairy and witch. So I added siren and then it was one other. I can't remember right now, but it was something similar to that or a succubus.
Sookie needs to know what she is so that she can protect herself. What in God's name are you?
I think that when she finds out what she is, I think that she's going to be very, very shocked. But I also think that she's going to sort of put the pieces together and go, yeah, this makes sense. But she's going to have a lot of questions. And Sookie is not very young, but she's not very old. She's in her mid-20s, but she's got this sensibility about her where she knows right from wrong and she, you know, has that southern hospitality. And I think that she'll take the news of whatever she is with a grain of salt, but at the same time she's gonna go, yeah, this makes sense, this clicks, this happened when I was 10, this happened when I was 15, all this makes sense. But when she finally finds out, I don't know if she's gonna be mad at what she is or she's gonna be mad at the fact that no one took the time to educate her
right
about what she is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think she's going to be sort of, okay, this is what I am, but why didn't someone tell me in the first place?
Well, yeah, you but know? Then we'd have to ask, who is it around to tell her? I mean, Grams is gone. I don't even know if she knew or not. Then who else?
Yeah, but see, here's the thing with Sookie. Whatever Sookie is, Jason also is because he's her brother.
Maybe.
Yeah, no.
I don't think he is. He's not. Not to a degree that she is.
Right.
No, not to
degree. Are you saying this from book revelation or are you just guessing?
I'm just guessing right now. I'm not even talking about the book. I'm just saying is no matter, yeah, Jason and Sookie, their brother and sister, whatever they have in their DNA is their DNA. But she is something so different from Jason, but they're still connected together. And I think that if Jason finds out what his sister is through her or through whoever, he might have some questions too, because if you look at the way his life has been in the series, he has always been the type of person that has always gotten out of things, but then again, he's always gotten into things. And I think that with the introduction of Hotshot, which I absolutely love, he's going to find out more and more that he's closer to Sookie than he thought he was in many different levels.
I like that.
I don't know. I think they did the whole blood type thing, which may seem like a throwaway line, was something that they can always go back to and be like, well, we kind of told you that he wasn't like her because he has blood type.
That's good.
Well, maybe it's dilute. Whatever she is diluted because it's like a half.
Yeah.
Maybe, are they half brothers?
No, they are full. They are full. Charlie Harris and Alan Baldwin.
He has an X and a Y, and she has two X's, so...
Well, maybe it's a man and woman thing where it's women are more powerful, whatever they are, than men are, and whatever.
Yeah.
Well, she said that her grandfather was like her, too.
Oh, and then the little kid is like her. So, yeah.
And Hunter is like her. So.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Hunter is very interesting because Hunter is somebody that, and I'm just going to pull a little bit from the books. I think. I love Hunter, he is such a cute little kid, and I think that Sookie's going to develop a, not a conscience, but she's going to develop some parental feelings toward him, because this is a little kid who's just like her. I mean, the first thing that you could think of is to protect this
kid. Well, crazy mama took him away, so, I mean, I get maybe, I hope we'll see him again, but...
Well, she probably gets...
Lori, I wasn't... Lori, I wasn't completely disagreeing with you. I was just saying that I don't think that Jason is as close to Sookie as you think he is. You know what I'm saying? I think that
because we've seen that in the series, that especially when Gran died, I mean, there was no reason for him to strike her, but he did. And it's like when you have a sibling and you're siblings, but you're not close, but at the same time, you think you have to be close because you're blood. Yes. You know, and we've seen that throughout the series, especially series one. Jason,
and we've seen it with Jason that he's going to take it on. He's going to be like, oh, well, if she's like that, then I must be, you know, bad.
Yeah.
He's going to think it and act like it. And
yeah, Jason seems to have an ability to persuade people to do stuff.
That's because he's hot.
He does.
Even when they can't stand.
Yeah. No,
beyond that, seems to still be able to get people to agree to what he wants them to do sometimes. And he's so stupid that he doesn't even know.
Oh, if anyone could win an Emmy for playing dumb, I think that Ryan Kantan would win. I mean, I remember watching season one this summer, and I was calling Daryl like every 5 minutes. I'm like, really? He's that dumb? Seriously? What is it that you say? God favors the idiots and the fools?
Yeah. Jason is highly favored by God.
Well, what do y'all think about Bill and Sookie getting back together? Well, are they together? Well, sort of.
I don't think so.
They're being cordial.
Normal couples do not do this, Bill Compton.
Thought you'd given up on being like normal couples. What would you rather be doing? Sitting on the sofa, watching television?
Well, used to be my idea of excitement, you know? You've spoiled me. Just once, I'd like to not find a dead body in my house. Is that asking too much?
If that's cordial, then
if that's cordial,
what they were?
That's cordial.
Okay, they had sex, and then they took a shower and had sex, and then they cleaned up a body together.
Well, first of all, they did it in a room full of dead people and a house full of dead people.
It is hot. Dead werewolves. If you're a vampire and a weird lady thing, that's hot.
What did she say? I'm not afraid to spill a little blood. I mean, Sookie is getting desensitized by everything, and Bill is—he's convinced himself that she's the love of his life. And the two of them together, I want them to be together. But on the other hand, maybe Bill isn't what she needs in the end.
I wanted to shake it.
Isn't what Bill needs either.
I like them together though. When I saw them kiss after the fight, I was like, "Yay, we got our couple back."
I want him to shake it up. I want him to break
up. They already broke up.
You know, I want to see.
Be careful what you wish for.
Come on, Monica. Just in the fun. If you break it in,
I'm just saying.
Alcide and her would be good for us to see. I still have this hope that Eric is just going to sweep her off her feet, even though I don't think right now we're going to see that. I think that Sookie, it was referred through some of the spoilers, that she considers herself to be vampire crack. They can't keep their hands off
That's
of her.
That's why I thought she was a siren. Or a succubus.
Okay.
I'm going to let that go.
I thought a succubus takes life out of you.
Yeah, they already did, so.
Have life.
But she doesn't feed on anybody.
You don't know what that, Can you let me
say she's not a siren. She's not a siren, I will say that. She's not a siren.
She's definitely not a siren.
Okay, I'm going to spoil.
No! Cat. No! No! Cat. Lori,
I'm not going to say what she is, but she's not a succubus.
Y'all are.
Well, that kind of narrows it down because she only had 4 guesses, but I will say that.
Somebody already spoiled me, and they didn't like
it. It's killing me because I'm laughing at what we're seeing on the series, especially the last couple of weeks, because Sookie, it should be so obvious to her and to people viewing the series, but to sort of move it to a different thing, I think that once we get past Bill telling her what she is, it's going to be very interesting to see how she deals with it and everyone around her. And most interesting is Tara. Tara is, I don't know what they're writing her to be, what they're writing Lafayette to be.
Tara's blowing the crap out of me.
Really?
Yeah, now she is.
Because I'm tired of the victim thing, Lori. I'm just sick of her whining. I want her to be a vampire slayer. I mean, if they're not going to do anything, make her go out to some and then put on some black leather and just kill people or something. But I don't want her to be a rape victim. I don't want her crying over eggs anymore. I'm sick of Franklin. Oh, I'm tired of Tara. I want to see the Tara that's cursing out people at the bar, talking shit. I don't want to see this Tara. Okay.
You know what makes me think something's up? Like, they're leading her to hate all vampires, which makes me think that's going to come back later. Like, she really gets to the point where I think she like, really hates vampires.
Even in the books, her character was not... Her character was not a vampire fan. So, when she started dating Franklin in the books, even Sookie was like, what the hell? You know, where did this come from? It was kind of out of the blue. But the again, like I said a couple of weeks ago, the Franklin in the book was so different from the Franklin in the movies. Like, Franklin in the show was pretty much psychotic, where Franklin in the book was a little bit more reserved. It's like he had control over Tara, but it was more so through... He doted on her, but not in the crazy way that James Frayne's character did. You know, it was more of a, you know, he bought her things. He took care of her. He gave her a shop. He just basically kind of did for her in the books what Marianne started out trying to do in the second season, which was basically trying to give Tara a way to be herself. But at the same time, he was controlling her. So,
yeah, but Hanako, you and I both know what happens with Franklin in the books, and they have something that they're not going to show in the series, which plays out for her later.
Yeah, but I mean, what I'm saying is, she's always been, you know, not a fan of the vamps, and just for her to be with Franklin was more so just trying to forget stuff that happened with eggs and all of that, and you know, all that whole situation, and then once her and Franklin are done, she kind of goes back into that, but she's not as vehement about it in the books as she is on the show. You know, but I mean, I kind of agree with Kat. It's like, okay, you know what? Tara's been the victim for the last three seasons. Can we please get something else? You know, can we get a stronger, you know, can she be a little bit more stronger in a different sense? Like, I don't want her strength to always have to come from somebody treating her like crap and then she's having to overcome it. I think her character is so much more than that.
Like Sam.
You are not welcome here.
That's my daughter.
You said you hadn't seen her.
Well, that's true. I hadn't seen her.
You fucking pussy.
You fucker. Sam.
Sam got a pair of balls on
Sam's
him.
Fight. Woo.
But you know, at the same time, Sam hit, that was more so spurred by trying to impress, you know, Tommy, you know, trying to have a reason for Tommy not to talk smart to him. And you know, my personal opinion, if Sam really wanted to assert, you know, the alpha male thing, he should have whooped Tommy's ass.
I don't think he could have. I don't think he could take Tommy.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Sam's the older brother, which would lean to experience and a little bit more strength. But you know, you might be right on that. I think that with Tommy, we have somebody who is a scrapper, and I think that he might be Scrappy Jr., to use a Scooby-Doo phrase. I think that Sam is much more, but I think that the way that they showed him beating up, help me, Hot Shot,
Calvin
Norris, I think that we're going to see a storyline that is somebody else's storyline we're going to see in the series. And I think that with Sam, he is at a crossroads because he's had this such horrible experience with his family. He's had to deal with his brother. He's got Terry calling him about Arlene not being able to sleep. We've got all these things that just sort of builds and builds and builds. And I think that Sam is going to have a very bad breaking point. It's going to bring a very bad memory or experience to light. And I think that when we see that in the next three episodes, we're going to go, you know what? That makes sense. That's what made Sam Sam. And that explains back in season two how he was dealing with Marianne and the whole Maynard thing.
Now, what about the crazy woman that got Pam to tell all her business?
Yeah, see, I was suspicious of that waitress too, but Hanako brought me down to earth. Yeah.
Really? Because she seemed really...
Marianne, didn't she? She seemed like a little maid. And then I said, you know, I don't trust her. And Hanako was like, well, no. She's supposed to be a good character, so...
Oh, you mean Holly?
The waitress lady?
Yeah, she's kind of... I won't say she's a good character, but she's not bad. She's kind of neutral where... She's trying to stay out of trouble because of what she is, but when it's
okay,
time
stop
for her
the
to
press.
Step up,
what does that mean? What does that mean? Because she just what?
Because Kat, remember? Because Kat,
I
when
wish
she
I
was
could
sit-
say, but I can't.
Oh, when Kat,
okay.
You, I
no!
mean, it's not a,
but
it's not a big,
whole
it's
scenes,
not a big,
and I'm like, what? Yeah, it's just not fair.
But look at the scene.
I'm at a disadvantage because I'm sort of with Hanako where it's like, I know what's supposed to happen, but I can't say because they're going completely different. But at the same time, I think that this character is
some of the core.
Neutral.
Yeah,
why don't
some of the core.
Why don't you DM me and tell me what
you know what,
But look at the scene where she's talking to Pam. It's like she had some type of power. Like something to make her tell her deepest
There was a
Secrets
thing, yeah.
To, yeah, there was some...
I don't know.
And I think she's doing that with... I think Tara's going to be the next one she's going to do
that.
And
that's what I don't want to see, because that would be Marianne all over again, and I'm tired of it. I'm tired of that with Tara.
Well, can I ask this question? Okay, we know that Tara is completely messed up. We know that Lafayette is in some stuff. Do you think that... the VRO blog, Dallas, True Blood in Dallas, and all the other VRO shows that they're doing, they've brought up this thing with Lafayette and the power that he supposedly has. Do you think that they're going to make Lafayette something other than a regular, quote unquote, human?
I think he's going to be a witch.
Yeah, I think he's a witch.
Because he has all of the Santeria stuff in his
everything.
He has the Santeria stuff in his house. Jesus is saying crazy stuff to him. His mom is like, "I gotta protect you from the witch." She said witches. She said vampires.
Right.
So his what's that lady's name? His mom.
Ruby.
The lady's actress name of.
Alfred.
Yeah, I love her, and I'm so glad she's in the show. But I think you think she may be a witch too, and she told somebody she was a witch.
Yeah.
And
oh, she's got to she's got to be at least Wiccan, possibly a witch. I think now, for the people who know a little bit more about the series, they're bringing in Mr. Catalcades, who is the vampire lawyer. For a quick minute, I thought that both Lafayette and Tara might be part demon, which would also explain the power that they have.
So you think Tara has power?
Tara has power. Well, they're cousins, so you fear like Sookie and Jason.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were going to continue. Okay. You had more. I was like...
Oh, what I was saying is that I think that if they don't... you've got three different choices here. You've got them being Wiccan. You've got them being witches. You've got them being demons. It could be any one of the three. If you're going to play off of the old black versus white, white being the white light, witches... Black being demon evil, you've got two African American characters. You could possibly say that maybe Lafayette and Tara might be part demon, or you could say they could be part demon, part human, or you could say that they might possibly be quote unquote bad witches. You've got any number of those scenarios that you can bring into it, especially if they bring in the demon lawyer.
I think they're going to be descendants of a voodoo priest.
Oh, that would be so
That's
typical.
Interesting.
They're in the bayou.
Yeah, I guess. This is true. I guess they haven't really done voodoo, which is weird.
No.
Well, and something made their mother go crazy, like something.
Because because Lafayette mama crazy, Tara mama is crazy. Mm-hmm. So there's something in
the
family.
Yeah, there's something in the abilities that they have. I don't think they understand their own abilities, and I think that would drives them crazy to the point.
Well, see,
where
I don't think Tara's mom is crazy. What? I think she actually.
She crazy.
No. I actually think that she really did have a demon in her. I don't think she's crazy.
You saw
a
lady that worked at Eckerd or CVS took it out of her? I mean, it was just really weird.
I actually do. I think that Miss Jeanette was able to remove it.
She was trying to jump on the while her daughter is up in the room trying to kill herself, she still was trying to practically jump on top of the preacher.
I know that, but you and I both have talked about church ladies, but we'll talk about that at a different time. But I think that her mother just was literally an alcoholic. She had a demon in her. Miss Jeanette, by accident, got it out of her. But I think that both
mothers... But after she got it, took it out, she was still acting crazy. Remember when she held it?
Well, she just went... If you drank green alcohol for the last 30-something years, wouldn't you be bat crazy anyway?
Touché.
I don't think that stuff is out of her. I don't think that stuff is out of her. Because she's still jacked up. She goes from one extreme to the... Now it's not alcohol, it's religion. But it'll be something else.
But she was always, even as a drunk in the first season, she was always one of those overly zealous characters. She was, you know, even with the bottle in her hand, she was spouting about how, you know, Jesus is going to help her and how, you know, Tara was damned and everything. So she's always had that as part of her character. So I don't think that, I think just the fact that she's no longer dependent on the alcohol, that just kind of brought that more to the forefront, you know, because now she's not there's nothing fighting for that, you know, for that attention. So now she has all this energy, all this time to go overboard with it. She doesn't have the bottle anymore. Her daughter is not speaking to her. So she really has nothing else to do, you know, nothing else to focus on. So, you know, I think that's kind of where that part of her personality, you know, just kind of develops.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that.
Okay.
Maybe she'll say it.
I still think she's crazy, but...
okay, so... Who was the character who said that Lafayette and Tara had power in them? Was that his mother?
That was his mother. Yes. And also Jesus. Yes. Jesus said it too.
Jesus.
Twice.
Jesus. Oh, I cannot wait to find out what Jesus.
Okay,
is
wait.
Because
stop the press on that. So he's not in the book. he's not in the book as is.
No.
Oh, that is exciting.
Because you have to think about it. Remember what I said in the book. Lafayette. Yeah. He was the person that was murdered instead of Miss Jeanette. So this point in the season, from the moment season 2 hit the air, everything with Lafayette was original because his character is technically not supposed to be here.
So yeah,
there was no Jesus. There was no Ruby Lee. Yeah. So everything concerning Lafayette and any of his storylines, the deal in the V and his mom and Jesus, all of that, you know, is completely
new.
That's Alan Ball.
Is that exciting for you and Lori?
I love Lafayette. I'm serious. When I heard the soundbite for Ring Ring Hook Ring Ring, I was
ringtone. Ring Ring.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Lafayette was what sealed True Blood for me because when I first started watching the series, the first couple of episodes they kind of slow, and I wasn't too sure about where it was going. That AIDS burger dialogue, that's what sold. That hooked me.
Yeah, Lafayette was the only entertaining thing the first 4 or 5 episodes.
It was slow. Because I think what happened was with the first few episodes, they stuck a little more closely to the books than with the rest of the season. So I think in that sense, it kind of drug on because literally season 1 spans the whole of book 1. And I think they're starting to move it forward a little bit faster because even on Twitter the other day, a friend of mine said, how is it that Arlene is pregnant with Renee's baby? And I said, you have to think, everything from season 1 to season 3, this has only been a few months. I mean, it's literally been less than a year.
San Diego said it was 6 weeks, which is a little condensed for me.
I think it's probably a little bit longer than that, but I mean, even in the books, from books 1 to 10, which is what's out now, I think that's just a little bit under a 3-year time period.
I agree with you.
Isn't
because,
Waitress,
yeah.
Didn't she say she was 4 months pregnant?
She's three and a half.
And see, the thing with Arlene is that Arlene is the type of person where she's going to make herself known, but I think that in the end, we'll see Arlene breaking down at some point. We already see that with the new waitress from Merlot's. I think that Arlene's character, and not so much Cherry Burfleur, but possibly Andy, we're going to see her either find her strength, or she's going to back down in such a way that it's going to impact the rest of the series, because we've got 3 episodes left. And Arlene is freaked out because of Renee, and she's freaked out because it's not Terry's baby. And she's going to have to make a decision about a lot of different things that's going to affect the rest of the series, even though she's not a main character.
Or do you think that the baby is going to affect her, I guess, attitude or possess her in any way? Is that what you're saying about Arlene?
I think that just the fact that there are vampires in the world and that she is pregnant with a serial killer's baby might possibly push her over the edge.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And Hanako is laughing because she knows what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, it's not a spoiler. It's more along the lines of ask yourself this question. You've got a woman who works in a bar. She's got 2 kids. Vampires are in the world, and she is pregnant by a man who hated vampires. What would you do in that situation if you were her?
Hug her.
Leave town. I don't know.
If you think about it, even if she leaves town, that baby is still there.
And there's still vampires.
That's
yeah.
True. That is true.
Yeah, and that history is still going to follow her. So,
Very true.
It's going to be interesting to see how her character develops. Especially trying to see where they're going to take her in the show compared to where she was in the books.
Right.
Arlene has got some very interesting times coming up for her, and I'm really curious as to what they're going to do with her.
Interesting that she's going to be a big part. I just would never guess that.
The thing that bothers me the most about Arlene is literally, quote unquote, an innocent victim in this whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, she is us. She is the person that goes to work. We've got vampires coming out. We possibly, down the line, might have other soups coming out. And she is confused, she's scared, and she's got enough of the southern mentality where she doesn't want to accept what she's seeing, but she has to. I think that...
What does that mean? The southern mentality? Come on, Hanako, we gonna let her get away. Seriously,
I can agree with her, because if you think about it, you know, especially down here in the Bible Belt, people are a little more closed-minded when it comes to certain things.
Right.
And with Arlene being a typical Southern girl, you know...
But she's not a Bible thumper.
No, she's not. But she's still Southern raised. And there's just certain things in the South that people are kind of... They have ingrained in them. So, you know, just the fact that, you know, she is working... And she even said it, in yesterday's episode, she said, you know, this used to be a nice place to work. You know, it was just people and there were no vamps. There were no, you know, crazies. And, you know, so you can kind of see a little bit of that.
I see what you're saying.
Closed-minded or that prejudice kind of steeping out. You know, you see a little bit. You've seen a little bit of it since the beginning, even from the moment Bill first walked into the bar.
And how she treats Jessica. You know,
Exactly. So that's going to be interesting to see how she does with that, especially if she keeps the baby. Which
girlfriend.
Oh yes,
too.
We got to talk about that.
Oh God,
my goodness!
Is anyone else tired of Hoyt?
Glad Hoyt said it yesterday. He was like, "I hate her." I was like, "Thank you. Can you guys please get back together already?"
She's crazy, though. That girl is going to kill some of the Hoyt.
She got a little crazy.
Well, but see, the sad part is that Mama Fortenberry, she's like the perfect girl that she could have for Hoyt. I mean, Summer is everything that his mother wants him to have, even though she doesn't want him to have anybody. I mean,
she's his mother in a form.
Exactly.
The dolls crazy. And the antiquing and the cooking. Oh, she is Maxine Fortenberry.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, Summer is very interesting because Summer is who Hoyt, if he had a good day, would marry. You know, last night on Dallas and True Blood, they said that we all want to sleep with Eric, but we all want to have Hoyt's tall, lanky babies, and that's Summer.
No, I don't want to. I don't agree with that at all. Maybe turn Hoyt out, but I'm not really. Okay.
I just I don't know. Summer is one of those characters where, okay, you know, I think we've seen enough of her. Can we please get rid of her? She's kind of, for me, she's kind of like Amy was in the first season. It's like Amy was cool for the first couple of episodes, but after a while it was like, okay, you know what? Please get this pothead off the show.
Jason's Amy. Yeah. Jason's Amy.
Yeah, Jason's Amy. She kind of grated on my nerves after a while. And last season with Marianne, too, I think they kind of went a little bit extreme with that storyline. And it just got to a point where it was like, okay,
you
know
what? They don't have that this season, Hanako. And that is what's kicking ass. Is they don't have that little, like, it's only three episodes. I felt like this season was shorter. I think they've gypped us some sort of way because
it does feel that way.
It's so good. Daryl, you were going to make a point. I think we kind of cut you off.
That girl, the Hoyt's girl, I wonder if somehow she heard Hoyt say that I don't like her, and she's going to try to do something really nasty and bad to
Justin. Oh, yeah, I was thinking that, too.
I hope she's not that stupid.
Well,
Oh, God, baby Jessica. I feel so bad for her because of her little problem that she has, but at the same time, she's really coming into her own with Bill, and, you know, Bill wanted to release her. But Jessica and Hoyt, I just want them to go off in their own little world, you know, and maybe possibly have little vampire babies and be all happy and have a double lie, you know. Wow. I love those two so much.
Hey, isn't it irresponsible of Bill to release
her? It was a little. But I love the way he did. I'm no good for you. He was kind of singing it, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was kind of
like the Confederate soldier comes out in Bill like every third line. I love it.
I'm waiting for a guitar. He's going to pull out a guitar. I'm no good for you. I love it.
It's just, it's terrible because, I mean, think about it. Jessica, you know, homeschooled Christian, Hoyt, sheltered by his mama. All I want to see is him build that double white and bring her over the threshold and have their little vampire babies. I just want that so much.
Wow, I know. Vampire. I know.
Wow. Oh, come on. Like you wouldn't watch a TV series with the two of
vampire
them.
Vampire Hoyt would be sitting in his t-shirt, his stained t-shirt, watching TV, drinking a beer.
It would be great to see if, like, vampire, like, Hoyt was a vampire and then turned, like, evil.
Oh, I would love that. The end of the
I can't even see that for Hoyt.
That would be so much great. Fun. Like, put on some just some dark eyeliner, you know, bleach his hair and stuff, on some leather.
No.
You can see. Come on.
No, they're gonna develop a cure for vampirism.
It's not a disease. Come on, we don't have that. I don't want True Blood to be where vampirism is a disease. That's boring.
Well, if you take Sookie out. I mean, whatever her blood was, it did turn Bill close to human for a few seconds.
You know, that's...
Well, was it human true, or was it just an enhanced something or another?
I'm thinking
kind of human. Yeah. Or maybe gave him...
I'm thinking she gave life to something that was dead. That's what it looked like.
That's
it looked
a good
like
assessment.
For a
that's
minute.
A good assessment.
Yeah, her blood gave him life for a minute. Because he was able to go into whatever world.
Fairyland, some broad sport.
Whatever that is. He went there for a minute just from taking her blood.
Well, I kind of like that scene. I kind of like that Claudine got a chance to talk to him. I thought maybe she would not be so, you know, crossed fingers, get away from me, demon towards him and actually have a conversation. But she didn't. But, I don't know how stealing the light and blah, blah, blah. That's just really curious to me. It's just really curious and interesting to see how that's going to turn out. I really can't. I know. Shut up, Hanako. I like this moment, though. I really enjoy this moment. I know, but
it's like, oh, I have so much to say, but I can't.
I know,
say
but
it.
Like Anthony and Daryl, isn't it? Is it exciting for you not to know, or do you not care? I mean, for me, it feels really exciting because it the drama and the suspense of not knowing. I don't know. It's just really exciting for me.
To me, it doesn't. It seems like it's a MacGuffin. Oh, it's one of those things where Sookie is something special. Ooh, she's something special. But in the end, the grand scheme of things. it really may not be all
oh,
that
Oh, damn.
Important.
Am I going to be disappointed? I'm going to be let down.
Because they're taking too long.
I don't think it is.
Because they're making it such a big deal. It's such a huge thing. The end of every
but
episode is
But that's part of it. That's the adrenaline of it. That's the part that the flirt, you know, it's the thing that get that draws you in.
You're going to be disappointed
I don't think so.
It's not going to impact the series one way.
Ooh, okay. Whatever. You know what? I'm going to take that clip might. And I'm going to play it over and over when it's real.
I think it might.
Because other than her, other than being a possible way for vampires to be human again, if that's not going to be it, then yeah.
Wait, what?
Ooh,
explain.
If the vampire is going to the telepath.
Wait, what? Explain that.
You can't read other vampires.
Explain what you mean that her power is to the ability to turn vampires back to human? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying if the only way it can be that important is if whatever she is the key to making vampires human.
Because of the blood
that's
she got.
That's the way it's important. If it's not important, then she's just another mind reader. And how important is that in the vampire world? Because she can't read vampires' minds. So why would the vampires be so interested in her?
Because they don't do a lot of throwaway. And why do that scene where, like, that was an important little scene when he got out in the sun and he was actually, you know, he had life. He had, you know, his face, complexion, all that stuff. I mean, I don't see them putting that scene in there, you know, and not going back to it sometime in this.
Well, I mean, they went back to it. They went back to the last episode. I mean,
he's not, the writers who seem to throw in these one little lines, these one little 5-second scenes that show you that there's something more important there. Mm-hmm. You know, than that, because that's one of those things, the thing where Lafayette's mom says, oh, there's power in, you know, Lafayette and Tara. That was another throwaway line. You know, Jason not having the same blood type as Suki, that was another throwaway line. But all these little tiny little details are much more important than they are. So if Suki isn't the key to vampires becoming human again, then what's the point? And if that's the case, why would Russell even be interested in her?
Right.
Because Russell wouldn't want her to be that. He wanted to destroy her because she could be the end of, you know, vampires.
That sounds really good.
So
That's a good theory.
She's like, that's a good theory.
No, I'm saying because I have not heard anything put in quite that way before. So even with me taking out the book knowledge,
it is.
That's actually a really the theory as far as what they may do with the show, because like I said, they've changed so much, so it's like I can only speculate on certain things that I know will probably happen based on what they're doing so far. But other things I'm completely in the dark with, which is one reason why even with True Blood I have not done spoilers, even though I know basically what happens with the story, at least in Charlene Harris's world.
Save the world.
You know what, Angie? I mean, that would really, be very really, boring really to me, because if it turns out that she has the vampire heel hand, then she's going to turn.
Let me finish.
Because she has the vampire heel hand and she heals Bill, and then he turns into a human and they go off into the world happily ever after. That's boring.
Skip it.
Believe me, there's way more conflict coming for Suki, whether it's this season or next season, or even if they extend it to a season 5. Believe me, Suki is not getting a happily ever after for quite a while.
Yes, I think that no matter what Suki does in the series, I think that she's never truly going to be happy because of A, what she is, B, what people expect her to be because of who she is, and C, Suki is never going to truly be happy because of her past experiences with the vampires and any of the supernaturals. She's going to be a character that may not be necessarily conflicted, but she's going to be troubled throughout the series, and we're going to see more of that as we continue with season 2, season 3, season 4, whatever, of True Blood. She's never going to be completely happy because she can't resolve why she's in their world, I think.
That is an interesting choice of words you just used right there. I think it was a spoiler too. Damn you, Lori.
No, it was no, Hanako, it wasn't a spoiler. It's just
just giving you crap, Lori. Don't pay me no attention.
If you see what she's been through and what we think she's gonna be, she's not going to be happy.
You can say that for like me. You can say that for you. You can say that for everybody. I don't really understand what you mean. She's never gonna be Tara's never gonna be happy. I mean, I don't.
Well, I'm just saying that I think that Sookie's character in the TV series is always going to have conflicts, and she is going to solve them, and she's going to turn around, and 5 minutes later, she's going to have something else, whether it's directly related to her or her immediate family and friends. I don't think that she's going to get any... I think her last moment of peace was right before she stepped outside to find out what the couple was doing to the vampire. That was her last moment of peace.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
The rat race.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Come on, man. Let's go.
We can't fucking go with him.
He is my dad, and he's the only one I got.
Jason and Crystal, I still don't know what's going on with her. Or we had a really interesting scene that Jason walked in on where some family member, hick person, was eating a deer. I don't know what that is. Anybody? Not Hanako and Lori. Lori, Anthony, Daryl. Did y'all have any?
Well, I thought it was a shifter at first. Well, I'm thinking werewolf or something.
We have werewolves. Can we have cats?
Because she kept saying my kin. She kept saying my kin.
Yeah, but that
my
but they,
kin can't go with the.
But
well, like I said, there are no throwaway lines, so we know they're not shapeshifters. Because you remember when Sam and his brother, they were like, "You smell that?" Yeah, I smell.
Right, and that's what made me think not shapeshifters, but some type of werewolf or something. Because they're not natural. Because they kept doing. Yeah, because they kept doing every time one of them came into that Merlot, Sam kept sniffing like something wasn't right. And they wouldn't do that unless it was something supernatural about it.
So do you
them.
Think they're werewolves or do you think they're cats? Like, because the way that little family member turned around when he was eating that deer, he kind of did a little hiss, which makes me think that they're kind of some cat people or something.
Well, yeah, it could be cat. I mean, anything.
Oh,
any,
Hanako
but I know
and Lori are too silent. We're wrong.
Well, you don't want spoilers, so I know the answer to that. I'm trying to be a good little fangirl.
I bet you we sound like idiots with all these guessing, but whatever.
Yeah.
No,
well,
you don't.
It's pretty logical because they're not werewolves because they've already shown this werewolves, so there would be no reason to hide them. We know they're not shifters because they don't get along with Sam and his brother. So the only thing left is some form of another kind of thing. Maybe a cat person. We're a cat.
Because, like, I mean, yeah, that it's something. Because something's not right about, you know, it's something inhuman about them.
So I don't understand what Crystal is doing, though.
Because he said, you know, there are kids involved. They're innocents who aren't involved. And, you know, they can't be put in the system. Because they'll end up being like Sam. You know?
So what does that mean, though? That was a very interesting line. What does that mean?
Well, but I mean, you got to think about it, too. Crystal also said that they were her family. So you got to kind of think along those lines as
Her pack. Like her pack.
They're lion people or something.
Yeah.
I killed you.
That's what everyone said.
Take your hands off her.
You do realize I'm a vampire.
I'll heal.
Not if I got a wooden bullet.
Well, can I say, I just think that was a terrible way for Franklin to go out.
Yeah, it was boring.
Because, you know, he didn't really have much of a chance to put up a fight, you know.
No.
Yeah. Twice.
I think I kind of like it because if you think about it, people view Jason as the dummy.
He's the sexy dummy.
Franklin had the, sexy dummy, nonetheless, but, you know, he's still dummy. But and Franklin, for the most part, during his time on the show, he has always been the predator. So for him to turn around and kind of be, you know, very arrogant with Jason, like, oh, well, what are you going to do? And for Jason to be actually just, you know, one pop and poof, he's gone. I think it was kind of poetic justice. It's like, OK, you know what? I may be dumb, but don't underestimate me. And you may be, you know, top of the food chain or whatever, but you know, you are not gonna always have the upper
hand. But how did Jason know to come with a gun and bullets, and how did he know to save
this is what
Dallas for Bill.
This is what I was gonna say. I think the writers screwed up and this was a quick way to fix it, because where was Jason right before he did that? Wasn't that right after Crystal left?
He was in the parking lot, and the thing is, he was carrying around the gun just in case he needed it for Bill.
Why did he want to shoot Bill?
Okay, but
because that Bill was because Bill attacked. Bill attacked.
Okay, I thought he was over that though, because Sookie said
no. I mean, he
never went home, right?
Bill saved Sookie's life, but still, Sookie would not have needed saving if it wasn't for Bill in the first place, and Jason is that still. You know, foremost on Jason's mind. Plus, you have to think, in some ways, Jason still has that mentality from Fellowship of the Sun. You know.
Okay. Well, I think the writers messed up, because I think they intended for Tara to kill Franklin. Then everyone realized, oh, his body didn't explode, and so they're okay, we need to write a quick scene to fix this, because Jason didn't know who that was, and I don't think Jason knew that was a vampire. So. Just for him to walk up and be like, oh, you know.
I think he probably can tell, because if you think about it, any human that has ever gone after Tara, she's held her own.
So but didn't remember this, though. This was kind of, I think the writers didn't know what they were doing, because remember, Jason killed the man that she was in love with. And this was kind of poetic, kind of crazy how he saved her at the same time.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I still say it seemed kind of weird that he all of a sudden shows up after the whole Crystal thing with the shotgun to save Tara.
If anybody would show up, it should be Sam with the gun, because she was the one she was crying on his shoulder.
But it wouldn't be, because I think it might not have came out like they wanted, but I think they were trying to do that. You know, Jason did a real effed up thing in the beginning, he just shot the guy and wasn't even thinking. And he pretty much messed up Tara. I mean, that was the one guy that she was really, you know, she was in love with, who wasn't evil. And Jason took that away from
him. I don't know. Well, he was about to go crazy anyway, because he was going to turn himself in.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that.
Killed all the people. He was going to be screwed up in the head anyway. So.
But he still took that, but he still took him away from her. And it's something that now, towards the end of the season, he saved her life.
They conveniently put him right there at that same time, even though he has all this other stuff going on. He found time to take a break from
after
Crystal to, oh, let me go save Tara. Okay.
And he moves on. Crystal pretty much kicked him to the curb and was like, I'm going to be with my daddy. And I don't, you know,
but
he was
the
like,
only daddy what the she hell? Had.
Had the foresight to go get the gun out of the car and then walk back to Merlot.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, though, Tara was pretty loud. So he could have overheard the commotion and said, okay, she sounds like she's in trouble, whatever. I mean, human or vamp, a wooden bullet is going to hurt or at least do some kind of damage.
Right. So,
but you know, just that it just has to be a bonus.
And I think it's going to come up later on in one of these three episodes. He's going to find out that he was the one that pulled the trigger and killed the boyfriend. And she'll have to really think about, well, before she gets it, because she'll get a knife and probably kill Jason. But before she does it, the conflict will be, well, this idiot just saved my life too. So that will be a conflict between them, which probably will wind up with them screwing each other, because that's just how the show goes. It's just weird.
Remember,
like that.
Didn't she?
I think she's kind of over that right now.
I don't know. That might do her good. That'll do me some good. Okay, let me stop.
she had a crush on Jason.
Right. So if they just, you know,
let's get it out the way.
Yeah, and then that'll be it. And then, you know,
I think Tara is probably gonna leave men alone. Period. I think she kind of needs a break. She went from being dumb over Jason to
chick on chick scenes.
Love with Ed and
she's gonna be like Lafayette. She's gonna
messing around with Sam and then being
in love.
Down. With... Oh man! I guess they don't really have that on this show.
No, they don't. They need it.
So do y'all, but like, y'all enjoying the man on man thing? Does it make you uncomfortable, Anthony? Or how do you deal with that? Anthony, silence.
I just avert my eyes.
I think it's cute. Because they're in love.
Okay.
Lori?
Okay.
Too quiet?
Doesn't bother me. I mean, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do on the show. But I think that we had a brief scene with Pam and that
oh,
and
yeah,
that girl.
Oh, yeah,
there
was that.
What is that? Because I think I heard someone.
And Eric and Talbot. I mean, this is HBO. They're going to push the envelope and they're going to show us stuff that we may not normally see. Doesn't bother me.
I want them to push the envelope.
Okay, I will say this. I will say this personally. I'm not really into Slash, but that Eric and Talbot scene was hot.
It was amusing.
Oh, my goodness.
It was.
I was like, I mean, we were like this close to having full frontal nudity, nudity almost.
It was hot outside when the scene was on, but I don't know about it being hot to be.
It was.
I don't know. I kind of harkened back to the scene where Pam goes, oh, now, where was I?
Yeah.
That was hot.
Yeah.
I know that's a double standard.
Yeah,
let me.
Yeah, whatever.
And then the limousine at the end of the episode.
That was a sad scene. Yeah, that was very sad.
And then they interrupted it.
He's talking about the more. You're talking about the one from yesterday.
No, he's talking
episode,
about the.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the limo.
I thought you were talking
scene.
About the first limo scene with the lady from the titty bar.
No, he's talking about last night with Nan Flanagan enjoying her snack before Russell, you know.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Come on now, that was kind of hot though.
Yeah, I didn't think, I didn't think of Nan being hot until then.
Yeah, that toe came out there. I was like, whoa. Look, double jointed.
Okay, Daryl, I'm gonna shut you down.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Russell Edgington, and I have been a vampire for nearly 3,000 years. Now, the American Vampire League wishes to perpetrate the notion that we are just like you, and I suppose in a few small ways we are. We're narcissists.
We care only about getting what we want, no matter what the cost, just like you. Global warming, perpetual war, toxic waste, child labor, torture, genocide. That's a small price to pay for your SUVs and your flat screen TVs, your blood diamonds, your designer jeans, your absurd garish McMansions. Futile symbols of permanence to quell your quivering, spineless soul. But no, in the end, we are nothing like you. We are immortal because we drink the true blood. Blood that is living, organic, and human.
And that is the truth the AVL wishes to conceal from you. Because let's face it, eating people is a tough sell these days, so they put on their friendly faces to pass their beloved VRA. But make no mistake, mine is the true face of vampires! Why would we seek equal rights? You are not our equals. We will eat you after we eat your children. Now time for the weather. Tiffany?
Well, I think Russell's last scene was just so epic. I mean, if y'all were on Twitter, I'm pretty sure you saw the explosion that happened.
And now for the weather. Tiffany?
Yes.
That was, I mean, and then just the change in his facial expression and just the way he carried off that whole scene was
insanity.
It was classic.
Yeah. You know they're going to kill him and I'm going to be sad when they do.
They're going to
I can't think of one person who saw that last night who didn't enjoy that scene. It was classic.
It was. They had a lot of classic scenes. I mean, the week before that, we had Bill and Sookie. going at it, and I was just like, I didn't expect that. And they were...
No, especially not in that way, because, you know, they have been kind of chased this season.
Yeah, that was soft core porn right there.
Well, not Bill. Bill had been chased.
Fighting to hot, rough sex. Yeah, that was awesome.
It's been a while for Sookie, though. We got to remember that.
Not for Bill. Lorraine had Bill.
Yeah, I don't think he enjoyed that one bit. He didn't enjoy that. You don't. If you sit back after, you know, you had sex and yell, no, you didn't enjoy me. You didn't enjoy it.
Well, I mean, he even said it to Lorena. You know, she was like, that was the best I've had in a while. He was like, I'm glad somebody enjoyed it.
This the like, fact that you turn her head around because you can't look her in the face.
I think he was just pissed. That's just classic, though. This season is just hands down the best. Okay, Anthony, let's go ahead and wrap up. What are you thinking about this season? What are you looking forward to? Stuff like that.
I enjoyed this season, I think, much more than the previous two seasons. I really like Russell, and I like the direction the show is going. I really hope that in the future, it doesn't turn out that Sookie is either A, the key to making vampires human, or B, a super secret weapon in some huge war between all the supernatural beings. Oh, God. Other than that, you know, I have a good outlook on the future of the show.
Cool. Lori, what are you thinking? How are you feeling about the show, and what do you want to see going forward?
I think that season three is so different from the first two seasons that it's completely blown my mind. I love the way that they're incorporating both the book and Alan Ball's vision for the series. I really like the fact that he's giving us so many different views of the supernaturals in the world. I love the fact that Sookie is being such an amazing character, but so is everyone else around her. And I think that when we finish seeing the last three episodes, we're going to look at each other. We're going to be like, oh my God, they actually blew us away. I mean, season one was good. Season two was better, but this is such a unique season that I actually think that when they get to the fourth and possibly the fifth season, they may not be able to reproduce what we're getting right now.
Oh, I hope so. Daryl.
I'm just enjoying it. I make little guesses. I wind up being wrong, and then I get surprised at the end. I mean, they've really been good with the cliffhangers this season. Like,
yeah.
So I just have fun just seeing what the hell is gonna happen next.
And Miss Hanako.
I'm enjoying it. I guess my only complaint right now from yesterday's episode is I need more Alcide in my life, please.
Yes, help. Ma'am.
But no, seriously, they are slowly, you know, getting me back to where I would, you know, when the show started, I was so excited. And this season, I've kind of been like, okay, I'm not sure about this and I'm not sure about that. But now that I see where they're going with things, I have a little bit more, you know, I have a little bit more faith in what they're going to do. And I'm just, I want to see what these next three episodes are going to be like.
And then it'll be a whole year where we won't have nothing. I mean, we were pining over this show for the entire year. Vampire Diaries, Supernatural. Yeah, those all feel. But when True Blood comes, there's the adrenaline, right? So, three more episodes. Guys, that's our show. We'd love your feedback. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. Send us a tweet at Sci-Fi Party Line. Send us a message on facebook.com/Sci-Fi Party Line or go to sci-fi party line.com to leave us a comment. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Heartsick and eyes filled up with them. I don't know what you've done to me, but I know this much is true. I wanna do bad things with you. Okay. We'll be right back.
L now. And all those shadows there, filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you. I wanna do real bad things.
I need help. I need help more than I ever have. God, Jesus, Mary Magdalene, Allah, confusion, the Buddha, the Scientology, aliens, that line from Narnia, whatever is out there, I need your help now.